Grandma,
read us a story.
You want a story?
Yes.
You want a story, Kelly? Okay, listen. Grandma will probably read you a story, okay? I'm sure she will. But why don't you get the other kids outside, okay? Go outside and see if they want to come inside, and Grandma will read a story, okay? All right, go get them.
Right, left, right.
Kids, come on. Get in here. Hurry. Awesome. We're going to get Grandma to tell us a story. Grandma!
Yes?
The kids want you to come in here and tell a story. You got time?
How about reading a story, not just telling a story?
Reading a story. That sounds good.
All right. If everybody's kind of quiet, gather around, and I'll read a story.
Fantastic. Here we go.
Hi, boys and girls. How are you today? Yesterday we was reading about the women who went to go and see Jesus where he was buried. And then when they get there, the stone is no longer there. They can hardly believe their eyes. What can this mean? Has someone been here already and robbed the tomb of its precious body? What of the guard and the Roman seal? They see no soldiers. As for the seal, it is broken. Who has dared to break this seal without permission from Pilate? In the dim light of dawn, they see an angel, not standing by the tomb, but sitting on the stone, as if to tell Pilate and the whole Roman Empire who really rules the world. His face shines like lightning, and his raiment is white as snow. Very frightened, the women turn to flee from the scene, but they are halted by the angel's voice. Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. The gentle invitation sets their fears at rest. They enter the sepulchre and find it empty, save for another angel sitting inside. The body of Jesus is nowhere to be seen. As they look around, searching for it, the angel says, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Go your way, the angel continues. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. At this the women hurry from the sepulchre, head back to Jerusalem with fear and great joy. Never have they run so fast in all their lives. What a story they have to tell. Presently panting, they reach the place where the leading disciples have been sitting out the night. We have just come from the tomb, they cry. It is empty. His body is not there. And we saw angels who said that he is alive. The disciples refuse to believe them. They think these poor women are so overtired and upset that they are seeing things. Their words seem to them as idle tales. But it's true. It's true, they cry. We saw the angels ourselves. They spoke to us. We heard them. One of them told us to tell Peter to meet Jesus in Galilee. This touches Peter. He gets up and hurriedly leaves the room, followed by John. The women might be right, one whispers to the other. Let's go and see. Together, they start on their journey, running side by side with John, the younger man, gradually pulling ahead. Their excitement grows as they get nearer. At last, they reach the sepulchre and find it open, just as the women had said. John, stooping down, looks in. To his amazement, he sees nothing but the linen cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus and the napkin that had covered his head, nothing more. When Peter comes puffing up, he precedes John into the tomb, but they found it empty. They are puzzled. So far, they have found the woman's story correct. The stone is rolled away. The body of Jesus is no longer there. But what has happened to it? Has it been stolen? Yet that is impossible, for an armed guard has been outside all night. Can it be that Jesus has risen from the dead? Can it be that he is indeed alive? They hurry back to the city to tell the others what they have found. Only Mary Magdalene lingers by the empty tomb. Alone, she stoops down and looks into the sepulchre. There she sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They say to her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Just then, Mary looks around and sees someone standing near her. Supposing him to be the gardener, she said, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Then the gardener speak. God's gardener. He says but one word, Mary. It is enough. At once she recognizes him. Master, she cries, turning towards him. "Touch me not," he said, "for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Then he is gone. But Mary knows now that what the angels told her is true. She has seen him herself. She has heard his voice. He is alive. He is risen from the dead. As she rushes headlong to the city to tell the others the wonderful news, the sun is rising over the Jordan Valley, bathing all the mountains round about Jerusalem with the light of a new day. Another sun is shining too, for Jesus is risen, the Son of Righteousness, whose warm and healing rays shall bless mankind throughout all the years to come. Twin sunrise, most glorious morning, dawn of a great new day for all the children of men. When Mary Magdalene, panting and terribly excited, reaches a place where many of the disciples were gathered, she felt sure they would believe her story, but they didn't. Now, calm yourself. You must have imagined it. You are just overtired. You couldn't have seen him. It's impossible. But I did see him, cried Mary. I did. Poor dear, said someone. You'll get over it. But he talked to me. He called me Mary. I would know his voice anywhere. And he told me he was going back to his Father in heaven. Please believe me. They didn't. They couldn't. Yet they were troubled by all the stories that were coming to them. That the tomb was empty, there was no doubt. Peter and John had been there and found nothing but the linen shroud. The body of their master had disappeared in the night. That much was certain. Somebody had taken it, but who and why? Had the priests and the Jews, rabbis, secretly buried it somewhere else so that the disciples would never find it? Had Pilate told the soldiers to get rid of it somehow to save any more trouble? All day they talked, thinking up one explanation after another. There was nothing else they could do. Most of them were afraid to go outdoors, lest they should be arrested. So they waited around, hoping things would quiet down enough for them all to slip out of town and be off to Galilee. By and by, two of them decided to risk it and go home. They were Cleopas and a friend who lived in Emmaus, only 8 miles from Jerusalem. Bidding farewell to the others, they started out. After passing through the city streets without trouble, they were soon out on the main highway. Their hearts were sad. Their faces long. Everything had gone wrong. Both of them felt wretched and miserable. All their hopes had been built on Jesus, and now they had come tumbling down like a house of cards. When they had seen him riding into Jerusalem on that little colt, they felt sure he was about to proclaim himself King of Israel. Instead, he had let himself be arrested and put to death like a common criminal. It was just too bad. What a good king he would have made. With his teachings about everybody loving everybody else, and with his powerful, wonderful power to heal the sick, his reign could have been most glorious in Israel history. Far greater than David or Solomon's, but now he was dead and buried. Well, he had been buried, but nobody knew where his body was. What a thing to happen. There was nothing else to do but get back to work and try to forget it all. As the two strode slowly on, deep in thought, they suddenly became aware that a stranger was walking beside them. Surprised, they must have felt like asking, "Where did you come from?" But they were too courteous to say that. They just kept on walking. The mysterious stranger spoke first. "What were you talking about now that made you look so sad?" Cleopas looked at him. "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" asked the stranger innocently. "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth," said Cleopas, glad to tell the whole story to somebody who hadn't heard it before. "This Jesus was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. But our chief priests and rulers and rabbis delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him." The stranger listened with deep interest. "We had hoped," Cleopas went on, "that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. And they come back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." So Cleopas rambled on, telling everything he could remember of what had happened over the weekend. Respectfully, the stranger listened till he was through. Then, to the great surprise of both, he scolded them gently for being so ignorant. "Oh, foolish men," he said, "slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, though he had no Bible with him, he quoted text after text from memory. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What a wonderful Bible study that must have been. 7 whole miles of it, with the 2 disciples marveling at the amazing knowledge of their newfound friend. As they drew near to Emmaus, the stranger made as though he would go further, but the others who had enjoyed his company so much would have none of it. "Stay with us," they urged him, "for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent." So the stranger stayed for supper, and Cleopas asked him to say grace, which he gladly did. Then it was, as he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, that they recognized the Savior. "Jesus, Master," they cried. But he was gone. He had vanished out of their sight. So Mary Magdalene had been right. She had seen the Lord after all. He was indeed alive. Oh, wonderful news. They must tell the others right away. Forgetting their hunger and weariness, Cleopas and his friend dash from the table, start running back to Jerusalem. Normally, they would never start on such a trip as late as this, but what do they care about the gathering darkness, or possibly robbers, with such a story to tell? There can be no strolling now. They walk and run as fast as they can, stumbling over rocks, falling down, picking themselves up, hurrying on and on to Jerusalem. Running so hard they have little breath for talking, but they do manage to scold themselves for not recognizing Jesus earlier. "Did not our hearts burn within us," they say, "while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" How different are they now from the 2 men who set out from Emmaus but a few short hours before. From poor, sad, hopeless creatures dragging their feet, they have changed into men of faith and courage, their hearts aflame with a glorious message. Instead of fleeing in despair from their enemies, they are rushing back into the midst of them, eager to dare anything for their risen Savior. Puffing and panting through the city gate, they hurry to the house where they left the disciples earlier that day. Thumping on the door, they demand admittance. Carefully, someone opens it, peering anxiously into the night to make sure no enemy is there. Through the open door, Cleopas and his friends see a group of tense, excited people, one of whom recognizes them, cries out, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." But the men from Emmaus have great news too, and they set out to tell it, how they met Jesus on the highway, how they walked with them for 2 hours or more, and how they recognized him as he broke bread at supper. Everyone in the room is thrilled at the new proof that Jesus is alive. "Surely," they say, "it must be true, he is risen from the dead." Suddenly, as all are talking excitedly over the latest piece of news, someone cries out, "Look, there he is." All eyes turn towards the wonderful person who has suddenly appeared in their midst. They hear him say, "Peace be unto you." But there is no peace in their heart. They are filled with fear, sure that this shining being must be a ghost. But this is no ghost or spirit, it is Jesus himself. "Why are you troubled?" he asks. "Why do questions rise in your heart? See my hands and my feet? For a spirit has no flesh and no bones, as you see that I have." Then, to their great surprise, he says, "Have you anything here to eat?" He must be real, then, if he is hungry and wants to eat. They scurry around looking in the cupboards. There isn't much, just a piece of cold broiled fish and part of a honeycomb, but they offer their last scraps to him, gladly pleased to be able to do something for him again. Though King of life and Lord of all creation, he accepts the simple food with grateful thanks. As he eats it, everybody present watches him with wide open eyes. The little meal over, Jesus begins to give his disciples the same Bible study he gave to Cleopas and his friend on the way to Emmaus. He opens their minds to understand the scriptures, saying, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the 3rd day rise from the dead, that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all the Israel nations, beginning from Jerusalem." They love every word he says. Their sadness vanishes. New hope fills their hearts. Jesus is alive. He has come back from the dead. He has kept his promise, and the great prophecies he used to talk about are true after all. Suddenly, their hearts begin to burn. The dying embers of their faith and courage leap into flame again. From a group of discouraged, defeated men, they change into blazing champions for their beloved Lord, ready to tell his wonderful story to the ends of the earth. Okay, kids, see you again tomorrow. Love you. Bye.